Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host Shanae, and today we're here with Selena. Hi Selena.
Hey. How
are you doing today?
I'm good, and you?
I'm surviving. Life is ghetto, but you know. Right? So I think it was last week or week before last. Yeah, that was last week when we were talking about the young mother who had passed away and had went live on Facebook. And apparently there was a video prior to that young woman who died. I wasn't able to see the video. However, there was a lady on the full video. I was able to see a snippet on news. And it was this lady. She was describing the circumstances surrounding the death of her brother. This is what she's telling the public, that his wife cried for help from the staff at PMH, and is like screaming at them to help, I need help. And she said they were unwilling, and this happened, I think, 2 to 3 weeks before the incident that happened last week. And I think it is imperative to show people the real situation of what's happening in healthcare, and to be wary that you have to be careful. And I think it's important for behemoths to know this. And the managing director of PMH, she did an interview with the news station, and she was saying, basically saying stuff like this ain't helping, coverage like that. She was like, the video was actually from a couple of weeks ago when I was in a recent incident. People thought it was recent. And instead, people should form a formal complaint so that they could have an act, so that the hospital can actually do an investigation. Now, I agree with that to an extent, but to me, it feels as though it was she's almost trying to be why are you going to the media in so many words? That's how it came off to me. And I feel like the media is a powerful tool in terms of helping educate people. That was its intended purpose, to be the voice of the people. And I think that people could file, I don't know if people actually file complaints, but I feel as though if it wasn't brought to the media, if certain things weren't brought to the media, we probably wouldn't, not even just traditional, but social as well, you wouldn't know half of the things that happen. And I feel like a lot of things would be swept under the rug. And the question too that I have is, what would actually be the resolve? Would y'all actually be looking into these things if behemoths weren't outraged? Because it's been happening for decades now. It doesn't seem to be changing, although they're trying to make changes. So it's just I feel as though citizens have a voice, and if they were treated unfairly or unjustly, they should be able to say, this is what happened to me, and I just want to warn you guys, and we need to do something about this, you know? So it kind of gave off, weird vibes to me. I don't know, I could be, reading into it wrong, but I don't, and like I said, too, I didn't see the full clip, but I don't think the woman was belittling the staff. She simply was stating what happened. She literally was like, this is what happened. But like I said, that wasn't the full clip that I watched. That was only the little 15-20 seconds that the news shared. But I do not agree with people actually out here berating staff. But then at the same time too, it's just what about when the staff berating the patients? I hope they have the same energy, because it happens. Some of them do it. And in fact, this weekend I had a friend whose mother almost died as a result of a mistake that could have been corrected, but instead it was ignored, and it took them advocating for their mother for her to be okay. She literally almost died, and stuff like that shouldn't happen. Yes, we are human, and yes, we make mistakes, but if you knew that you did something wrong, why not correct it then and there? Why allow it to fester? You know, I feel like advocacy in healthcare is important. And it's not like we're the only country that struggles with this. There are a lot of countries that do, even developed countries. I think that talking about it and trying to come up with plans and solutions is important. And we have to keep our foot on their neck, because if we let this go, I feel like it'll just be swept under the rug again, and we'll go another 5, another 10 years without there being any like real change. And like I said, the last episode, or episode before last, like we focus so much on other areas that we tend to neglect stuff that are important, like education and our healthcare. And like, but we all contribute to society, and I feel like we should be able to get the best healthcare at PMH, because it's not like we don't have qualified personnel. It's just that some people need a little bit of Bahama hose, and then obviously we have lack of a certain equipment and stuff like that. And also our government need to do better, because we ain't trying to put all the blame on professionals, because the government has a lot to play in this, in my opinion. But that's just my two cents.
In regards to your question, when you were like, you don't know, you felt as if the lady was, she was basically trying to oversimplify the situation or to like demonize persons for going to the media instead of going through the right channels and, just making reports to the hospital. And I do agree with that statement because it's not like people don't do that, you know, but they do realize that when they do that, basically, because I don't even think, well, it could be intentional, it cannot be intentional, but we already stated that the hospital personnel is understaffed. And so it could be is that because there's a backlog, they don't have enough staff to like or the proper staff to meet these demands. And so whether intentional or not, some of these things are tabled. And so persons do go to the media to help because that puts pressure on them to now, okay, we got to look into this because now people are looking at a side eye. So like you said, the media is a tool to make persons aware and also to be the voice of the people. And so I don't think we should demonize persons from going to the media. However, but at the same time, I do think that it's persons. I think that also with that, we should be careful not to, not saying that the lady did it, but we do know of persons who over exaggerate or add to the story to try and make their story more sweeter and then, you know, cause a negative backlash that doesn't really need to take place. And so I do think that we, as citizens, when we do go to the media, that we just be careful not to, misconstrue anything that happens, you know? And I do agree that the blame shouldn't be fully placed on the professionals because at the end of the day, they are understaffed, overworked, and underpaid, and it's just a lot that has to be done. Some of them have been going from since COVID, not really getting a break and everything. And not to say that these are excuses, I'm just saying that everyone is human. And yes, it's their profession and that's they chose that, but that doesn't take away from them being human. And, you know, therefore there are certain variables that can take a place within their work place. And so again, my condolences to the family, but at the same time, it's not so much black and white, you know.
Yeah, I think currently in the world, anything is as black and white as it seems. There's a lot of gray areas, I feel, but the fact of the matter is we have to figure out some way to stop this, because as a result of things that are happening, whether it be the lack of equipment, whether it be the lack of staff, whether it be certain people being unprofessional or maybe not even concerned, whatever the circumstance, at the end of the day, people are dying as a result of these reasons. And I feel like I said, it doesn't have to be this way, because we inject millions of dollars into a lot of other things that could wait. And I feel like healthcare and education should be top priorities in any country, because healthcare is keeping people alive and education is educating them, like they feel that they have the tools they need to go into the world. And that doesn't necessarily mean just math, English, you know. It also could be teaching children how the budget and how to survive in real life situations. And I feel like that's something that we've always lacked. in our system, in our yeah, in our system, in like our government school curriculum, public school curriculum, because some private schools do it. Some private schools do it, because I know my little sister, she goes to school and they have like a life skills class, and stuff like that. And I think that's pretty cool. And it's more or less, it's not really focused on just academics. Like they have other creative means. They have technological classes, and children get to choose what they want to go into. So, like, for instance, if you're a more academic, you know, way of we've been seeing all of our life, you could go that route. Or if you're a person who likes to be creative in terms of like digital art and media, you could do like what the word is, you could do like photography, graphic design, and stuff like that. And I think that is so important. And I think we're doing it now, well, we have been doing it to an extent in terms of allowing children to learn like cosmetology and stuff like that. But I feel like it's a little bit outdated because the world is progressing, especially in the technological field. And I feel like that needs to be added now. And I think that would be so cool for students. And not even that, just like a whole testing system, I feel is kind of off. And I remember Selena mentioning once about how I think it was Jamaica has their schooling system set up, where you take like a test, and if you don't perform well in academics per se, you go to like grade school. And if you perform, if you're a person who thrives in the math, English, science, history, environment type of thing, then you go stay where you are. I think that's a really good idea, you know. So I think healthcare and education, we really have to get on top of that. But yeah, so I think, as back to the point, I think as Bahamians, when it comes to healthcare, I think if there are people, I'm sure there are people who out there who talking to health professionals as though they are children. Don't do that. You want help from these people. You go in there and be kind. It takes nothing off of you to be kind to someone. And yeah, and hopefully you can get the help that you need. And also, I think you should be patient with them if you have something that's minor, that is. You know, some things can't wait. Like, for instance, if you were to have a heart, that's a different circumstance. But if you're going in, maybe, I don't know, for something not as time sensitive as something like that, then I think you should just be patient. We already know that our healthcare system is in shambles. So sitting there and say, oh, I've been here for 8 hours and y'all need to get together, because you know how Bahamians go. When they've been somewhere and they're waiting for a long time, people just start yelling things. Because I'll never forget, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the book, Bahamas Heart Surgery, right? And I waiting on the line. They're lying long. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. They're lying long, right? And I've been here for like 20 minutes. The line ain't really moving too much, but you could obviously see that they're very busy. And this is right before Christmas. Of course, there are gonna be loads of people here, right? So we wait until like 25, 30 minutes, and they start yelling, oh, this line ain't moving, man. I've been here for 30 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, you can obviously see that they're doing something. You can obviously see that they're occupied. And if you want something done, that's not the way to do it. You can simply ask politely, hi, I've been waiting here for 30 minutes. Can you give an estimated time on how long this is gonna take? You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be disgusting. And then you wanna kick attitude with people, and then when they kick attitude back, it's, oh, you're being unprofessional. No, if you go at somebody with the wrong attitude, then most likely they're gonna give you attitude back, and it's unfair. You know, I don't think I if you're not being respectful to somebody, I don't think logical for you to expect them to be nice and smile with you just because they're on their job. It's not obligated. We try to act like it is, but come on, like, be for real. So yeah, be kind to healthcare workers, and hopefully they return the same to you. And if you have an actual, if something happens that's negative, and if you have a terrible experience, file a complaint. Hopefully it's resolved. So as you know, the leader of the Coalition of Independence, Lincoln Bean, he's very anti-illegal immigration. And he decided, him and his followers decided to gather on Bay Street and hold a peaceful protest. And he said that Bahamians are tired of the illegal immigration issue. So in response to this ongoing discussion within society that has been literally happening, I think, the last couple of months, because Haiti is going through a lot right now. They're having a lot of turmoil. So there have been a few vessels, well, more than a few. It may be, I can't remember the exact amount, but I can think of three off the top of my head that have been seized probably within the last 2 weeks with hundreds of migrants. right? So people are very concerned about this. However, I think that concern is valid, but at the same time, it's like they were caught and they're being sent back. So it's just like if the government is doing their job, if the defense forces and the immigration are doing their job in terms of sending people back, why are you upset at the government? Like, I'm confused. They're literally doing their job. What do you want them to do? I don't understand what they want from them, but yeah, we'll get back to that. So the Minister of Immigration asked Bahamians to let sanity avail. He said, "We are a country of laws, and the maintenance of law and order must remain a cornerstone of our country. Xenophobia has no place in the Bahamas, nor does arbitrary harassment of any person on the basis of any perception to their nationality. To those doing it, stop." And obviously, he's talking about the incident that happened a couple of days ago, well, probably a week or two ago, with the leader of the COI, again, Lincoln Baine, who was going around stopping people and asking them for their identification, right? And I agree with him. And people are trying to say that the government is basically, I guess, scared of immigration or allowing them to what's the word, to take over per se. But I think that's a very unfair statement because immigration, illegal immigration actually, it has been a problem in many successive governments. And I feel as though it's unfair to try and make it seem as though this government isn't doing what they're supposed to do in regards to it. I'm like, what do y'all want them to do? Like they can't stop the people from coming here. They're in their own country. These adults made a conscious decision that, hey, I'm going to try and move to another country, but whether it's illegal or not, whatever, that's a conscious decision that they decided. The government can't stop them until they literally get into Bahamian waters. So it's just like, if the defense force and immigration and other law enforcement government entities that deal with this sector, right? If they're doing their jobs, what's the problem? And I feel like a lot of people just want to spread hate, and like the Honorable Keith Bell said, like you want to be xenophobic and you want to harass people. And yes, you can be upset that someone is migrating illegally. However, you shouldn't characterize one nationality of people to do the same thing, which is unfair because you wouldn't like if someone did that to you. So I urge Bahamians to like think before you say or do certain things, and also to like do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Because imagine if I was in a country, if I went to the United States or Canada or another Caribbean country, and I was on a work permit, and someone is saying, "Oh, there's a Bahamian immigration problem. I'm here legally, and you come up to me harassing me, asking me to show my identification when you are not law enforcement. You have no probable cause, but thinking that me specifically pose a threat to my community, but you're pointing me out or singling me out for the mere fact that I'm a Bahamian, and you know that probably based on my accent. But it's like you look at me and you feel like, oh, I'm a Bahamian, and I'm a part of the illegal immigration problem. So you stop and you question me. I feel like that's unfair, and I feel like a lot of people don't see the issue in that. And like the minister said, we have laws. We have laws for a reason. The laws are being enforced. So like, what more do you want? Do you want them to like banish and be like, hey, she's gonna never come to the Bahamas or something? Like, that's unrealistic. That's also what the word is. It's also discrimination to an extent because not all Haitians are migrating illegally. Not all of them are coming here. So to say ban all of them is, I think, is unfair. And I don't think the government is going to do that. However, what they did do is they banned temple, not banned, but they stopped giving out work permits for the time being. But say, oh, you can never come to this country or you're not welcome. Y'all, come on. Like, let's really think about this now. Yes, we have an illegal immigration problem in terms of people trying to get into the country illegally, which is not fair because we have laws and you should follow those laws. However, I feel like immigration, the Royal Bahamas Police and Defense Force, as well as the government, is doing everything that they possibly can to stop illegal entrants into coming into the Bahamas. Like they literally apprehend these boats and send these people back to their country. Like, what more do you want?
Think Bahamians are being unrealistic with their expectations and maybe not understanding how this works. Because, like I was saying, they are saying that the government, specifically them, I think one of their, I can't remember who exactly spoke about it. They're saying that basically, this current government isn't dealing with the illegal immigration problem correctly, right? And then Bahamians are also upset and saying that we have an immigration problem. But like I was saying, if the defense force, the immigration officers, the police force are getting these individuals who they found illegally in hot waters and with the rivers, detaining them and then repatriating them to their country, isn't that what they're supposed to do? So it's like, what more do you want the government to do? They can't necessarily stop them from coming here. Like they don't, they can't control what people do in their own country, you know? So I was saying, do you think like Bahamians are being unrealistic about that? Because I think.
I do know what you're saying. I kind of do agree that a lot of Bahamians would love if that was said, like, hey, ban all Haitians, because they look at not only that, but as I did a media course within the Bahamas, it's literally, the media that paints it as it is a problem. They use negative labels to, as they refer to Haitians, either they're infiltrating or they're coming in swarms and gonna take over, whatever the case may be. So automatically now this nationality is seen as a threat, right? And so a lot of Bahamians, they just go with the flow. They don't take time to research, they don't take time to look or whatever. So because this is what is pumped almost constantly within the media, that is the perception that they have of these individuals. You cannot stop migration into the Bahamas. And Haitians, if you look back into our history, Haitians have been actually brought in large groups here or whatever the case may be. So it's not like this is something that just has been happening. But now, when persons are saying that it's out of control because now they're coming in illegally. But I say all that to say that I would not say we have a problem, but I would say that there is an influx, a large number of migrants coming in, because it's not even Haitians, but it's of different nationalities that are coming here, and not all of them are legal as well. So what's the word? If we are going to sound the alarms and ring the bells, I think what we need to do is look at our whole migration situation. Maybe amend the laws. Maybe why a lot of them are coming in illegally is because our laws are too, what's the word? Archaic and not fit for this time. So maybe we just need to take a second glance at the law and see what is what. Because I don't think a lot of one of the main concerns I hear a lot of persons saying, but him is saying, is that, oh, they're eating up our resources, right? However, at the center of every shanty town that I know or area that is highly populated with Haitian nationalities, there's a farm, a huge farm at that. And they're producing good crops. They're selling their crops. They're literally living as a village. They help. They look out for each other. They support each other, and so they're thriving. And my thing is, if we stop looking at these persons as threats, and we actually allow them to assimilate within our culture, we learn from them. They learn from us. We can grow. So our country can develop so much quicker. And my thing about it too is that, right? It's all, oh, this and that or whatever the case may be when it comes to them, when it comes to them as a whole. But the minute now, oh, for sports, especially for soccer or whatever the case may be, look at our teams. Look how much of them are Haitian, but humans are Haitians. And I think it's unfair for us to now want to look at them in a certain way on that side, but now when we could use them and that highlight, oh, it's okay, it's not a problem. But I do believe that a lot of Bahamians are overreacting, but at the same overreacting in the way in such a way that we do. I would say that migration is an issue within our country, but the way that they're going about it, it's an overreaction, is my question. It's not as simple as it seems. It's complicated on both ends from whatever perspective you look at it. So I just believe that maybe we need to review our laws and also educate ourselves on the matter, because all I just hearing is that everybody's saying the same thing that's within the market, and nobody taking the time to actually really think about the situation. That's that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. And going back to the media, like I studied media, right? And this is something that we looked at. Actually, something that I researched for my thesis when I was graduating was media language and like how mine was particularly talking about politics specifically. But while researching, and I was also a research assistant for one of my lecturers because she was writing a book. And literally, I was looking at some stuff in the 1980s, some articles, 1970s, 80s. I think I went back as far as the 40s. And you can see a lot of language, like you said, where they demonize these people, they dehumanize them. They made it seem as though they are so evil, right? And I think that it's not as common now. Like it happens, but when I tell you these articles were hardcore, like, how are we just talking about simple words like infiltrate and stuff? No, they were literally talking down on these people in the newspaper. And it was just like, I couldn't believe what I was reading. And then that solidified in my head, like, this has always been, this is a hatred that has been taught. Now, I'm not gonna say that, oh, we should just allow everyone to come in our country because there is a process and we have laws. However, I don't understand why Bahamians are so protective because, to be honest, yeah, we live in the Bahamas, but we also migrated here. Migration is a part of literally like of from the beginning of history, people migrated, and it wasn't until we began creating these political systems that it be and passports and stuff that it became an issue. You could have moved from one country to another freely for the most part, you know? I don't understand why you are so afraid because it's not, I feel like for a lot of people, it's not necessarily illegal immigration, you know? They don't like the fact that these people are immigrating here at all. And that's what bothers me. Because if you were in the situation that they were in, or people from I think it's Iran, because Iran is in turmoil right now as well. France also having some protests regarding retirement age and stuff. So let's say that got out of hand and there was like a real war or something, and these people were seeking asylum in other countries. 9 times out of 10, us as Bahamians, we would look at that and say, oh, these people need to get out, right? But we don't allow the same grace to people who look like us. And I feel like that's a deep-rooted problem that we need to address. And like I said, like if these people are coming in, if people are coming in illegally, then by all means allow them to like you said, assimilate into society. But Bahamians don't want that. Haitian migrants have been coming here from, I think, mostly the late 1800s that I could recall. It may be earlier than that, and they've always been a part of Bahamian society. So why now, all of a sudden, well, I don't say all of a sudden, but over the last, I would say, 60 to 70 years per se, it's become an increasing problem for Bahamians. Like they cannot their head around sharing the same soil as someone who is from Haiti. And that bothers me because guess what? If I don't want to put it like this, but think about it with black and white people, we wouldn't like if someone of a lighter complexion were to treat us this way, and we would say that it's discriminatory, right? So the same thing could be said for this. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, yes, illegal immigration is wrong. It doesn't align with our laws, but I'm not talking necessarily talking about that issue anymore. I'm just talking about people being xenophobic towards them for no reason. Even when they have no proof that they're illegal, they make generalized statements about them, they spread rumors about them. And I even know people who, if you have a name that sounds like a Haitian last name, they are automatically disgusted with you and they don't want to talk to you. And that type of deep-rooted hatred is very damaging. not only to people of the Haitian nationality, people who are mixed, but I feel like it's detrimental to you too. Like, why are you carrying so much hatred around in your heart, you know? So I don't think that the government is doing a terrible job. I think they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what is outlined in the law, that when people land on our soil illegally, they detain them and they send them back. And I don't know what Bahamians expect the government to do. Besides that, I don't know if they expect them to torture them or kill them, or I don't know, ban all people from this particular country, right? I do not know. And the fact that the prime minister was extending grace to them, and when he spoke at the summit, he was talking about, you know, people in the region working together to help the country so that they wouldn't have to migrate, basically. And people would, like, you know how Bahamians go, oh, we could barely help ourselves and blah 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 blah. But I'm like, he's trying to create a solution. And if you think about it, the cause of these people leaving is because their country's in turmoil. So if we band together, if different countries can band together and actually help them to come to some sort of resolve, it would help with the mass droves of illegal migration. And it's not only just here, but it's the other islands as other countries as well. So when you think about it, it kind of makes sense, at least to me. It makes sense to me. So if I help you, then you don't have to illegally move to my country. Yes, but like I was saying, I don't understand what Bahamians want or expect of the government to do about the situation per se. And I would like to hear people's like thoughts about it, because I truly don't understand what other solution that you want the government to come up with besides capture them and send them back. Now, maybe I'm not looking at the broader spectrum of how this could possibly go, but if someone, like, if you have a suggestion, like, feel free to leave a message on our Facebook or our Instagram, or even under the post for this specific episode, because I truly want to hear people's input regarding this, so I could and try to understand you guys' train of thought, or people's train of thought, because every Bahamian doesn't think this way, obviously, because I don't think this way and Selena doesn't think that people should be banned or that we should be xenophobic, you know? And I feel like a lot of people don't understand what xenophobia is and don't understand the deep-rooted hatred they may have for a particular group of people. And it doesn't only have to be Haitians, you know, it's just that that's been the topic of discussion recently. But a lot of people also have issues toward other people from different countries as well. It's not only Haiti. And for me, it tends, like Selena said, is not they're not the only group that migrate here. There are a lot of other people that migrate here, and a lot of them come illegally, right? But I feel like because they have a lighter complexion, they're socially accepted. But those who come from other neighboring Caribbean countries who are trying to seek a better life, they are looked down upon, and it's, oh, you stay in your own country. But if you're of lighter complexion, I feel like we tend to glorify these people or think that, oh, they can't possibly be illegal, you know, they're gonna go through the right channels. They're we automatically associate what they're going through with pain, and we offer them, like I said, grace. But these people who look more like us, we don't necessarily do that. We automatically want to punish. We automatically want to look down on them and give them the harshest possible punishment. And I don't necessarily think that that's the automatic thinking. Like I say, we can't just let people run over us. We have laws, but at the same time, it's just like, why are you thinking so? Why do you automatically go to the extreme? There are other ways to deal with this, you know? Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was the assault of the assault of a Jamaican lady, young woman. So apparently, a lady. A senior immigration officer has been ordered to pay damages to a Jamaican woman whom he sexually assaulted while in his custody. Right? And she had filed a civil suit against him. I think this is in 2014 or 2015. I can't remember the exact year. However, she passed away, I think it was in 2021, after she had her child. So, yeah, but her estate. Survivors continued with the suit or whatever, and she won. So apparently this is how the story goes. So the woman was detained after she her after her place of work was raided, right? And she was questioned about her status and she presented a spousal permit, right? So the police did not arrest her, but they did take her back to the station and they handed her over to immigration so that they could verify, you know, that this was a real permit and that she actually was married and this was valid or whatever, right? So the officer's name was Bastian, right? And she was given to him for him to confirm her address. So the officer, apparently, he took her in the car, right? Stopped for a bottle of wine and then took the lady back to his home. The young woman claimed she was raped, but the officer said that it was consensual. And apparently she was forced to stay the night and then raped again, and then he dropped her home. So Senior Justice Indra Charles, she ruled over the proceedings, and also she wasn't, the lady wasn't all only suing the officer, but she was also suing the commissioner of police, I think the director of immigration and the government. So the justice ruled that the government was not liable for his act, for the officer's actions, because she said, this is her exact words, he was on a frolic of his own. So she ruled that he paid personal damages for falsely imprisoning Bethel for almost a day, 22 hours, and for assault and battery. So I found this story to be very disgusting because, like, that's a terrible thing to do to somebody, but I don't know. I don't know because there hasn't been any like information that I've seen that I've tried to look for regarding if he was arrested because I don't know if in civil suits you have to provide evidence to say that the assault actually happened, right? But if I was in this, I don't know what happened, but if it did, and if she was telling the truth, like how could you, how you could do that to somebody? Like you literally taking advantage of someone and you're in a position of power and you're taking advantage of that. I think that is so wrong. And I feel like if this is what occurred, like was he tried? Like was he arrested? Like I feel like there had to been more than just him getting a civil suit. Like that's really wow. So I thought that was a very interesting story because I have never actually seen, at least recently, seen a story like this. So now it makes me wonder how often does this happen or does it happen often? And are there any like statistics on it? And but then people may also be afraid to speak out against an officer, especially if they are illegal. It just so happens that this lady, she was not. So maybe she felt more inclined to speak out. I just wanted to speak about it and let people know that things like this happen and to be very vigilant. And I don't know if you guys saw the crime report, but I think rape cases for 2022, it was up a lot. I know for a fact, it was up a lot. And it sucks that it's up, but at the same time, I feel as though that lets me know that people who are enduring these horrible acts are actually speaking up because I feel as though based on the crime report from 2020 and 2021, that I feel like we have a culture of condoning rape, condoning molestation because of pride. And I feel like a lot of it, there, I feel like it was very prevalent in the country, but it's just that people didn't speak up about it. So I don't necessarily think that there's necessarily been an uptick in rape itself or sex crimes itself. I think people are just feeling more confident over the last year or 2 or 3 years in reporting the crime.
As it relates to the matter, it's really sad to see that law enforcement use that sort of power, and like we were talking about earlier, to treat persons of certain nationalities with just to dehumanize them, you know, and like you say, it makes you wonder, well, how often does this happen, or for him to be so confident to do that, obviously, it could not be the first time. It's just that this person so happened to have their papers and were able to make a case. And I'm glad that they actually followed through with it because a lot of times when it comes to law enforcement, these cases get ruled out.
especially if they have the right connections or whatever the case may be. So it's really sad, but I do agree with your sentiment. I don't think rape itself is on the up, is on the rise. I do believe that persons are now just having the confidence to report it more instead of living in fear or just, letting things be because of the victim blaming so much in this country is not even funny. So a crime happens against you, and it's like, oh, what did you do to cause it? Not actually looking at, hey, this crime was caused against me. Why is there the spotlight on me? Why isn't it on the person who actually committed the crime, So I'm happy that persons are taking more of a bold approach to it. And I just hope that this is something that we can rectify and change, honestly, because it's very sad that the persons that are supposed to be, upholding the law and protecting us are the persons we fear the most. So.
Yes, very, very valid points, Lena. And I feel like you said, I was gonna say, I do feel like people are more confident in speaking up. And I think it's because of maybe trust, more trust in law enforcement, because I feel like there has been a lot more, I don't know if there has been like specifically a lot more arrests regarding it. But it seems to me that their attitude changed just a smidgen, just a tiny bit towards these type of cases, and I feel like they're being taken more seriously, because I remember years ago, like, people thought molest, well, let me say, not the vast majority, but I heard if someone was having a and they were talking about this little girl that was molested, and the mommy speaking out against it. I think it was by a pastor or someone close to them and like prominent in the community. I can't remember the exact details because I was about maybe 12 or 13, and I remember sitting on the radio and this mother was literally crying for help, like, my child was molested. And people were calling in on the show and telling this woman that getting molested isn't that bad and all type of things. And I was just there, and even at 12 or 13 I realized how wrong that was, and that bothered me. And to see like we're actually moving towards understanding that, listen, even if you're touched inappropriately, that you still should report that, because nobody has the right to touch your body without your consent. You can't just go and grope a young woman or grope a young man, especially when you are an older man or woman and you preying on little kids. That's wrong. And I feel like we're now as a society, I don't know if it's because I don't want to say we're changing generations, but like, as how we're Gen Z and we're getting older, and the younger set of millennials are also getting older, that like we're maybe advocating for change, and we maybe think a little bit differently. I don't know if that's the case, but it's just like it's good to see that people's voices are being heard, and that they're able to feel some sort of confidence in reporting things. Because like being raped or molested or any type of or experiencing any type of sexual assault is very damaging to anybody, and that's not something that you ever forget. And the way that alters your brain chemistry, bro, like, that's something that you're never ever going to forget, right? But I feel like the least that can happen is that that person be prosecuted and serve their time, and hopefully it can deter them from doing something of that magnitude again. Because there are some people out there who just like, and they just serial rapists, serial molesters. But I feel like if we continue to allow these things to be swept under the rug, allow family members to touch on little girls or little boys, knowing that they're predators, but we're embarrassed, so we don't say anything, or we tell our child to suck it up. Stuff like that needs to stop happening. Children should feel safe talking to an adult about things that they have endured. Women and men should feel safe to talk about sexual stuff that they may have experienced. And I hope that one day we can get to that, to an environment, especially for young men, because I feel like a lot of times they feel like they're supposed to like sexual interactions, even if it's not wanted. And
I think a lot of times even young men are groomed by older women and they don't necessarily view it as grooming because they're like, oh, well, I'm 15 and she's 27 and she likes me because I'm like 4. No, that's not normal. It's not something that should be glorified. And that woman took advantage of you. She is a grown woman, a big grown woman. She should not be. And they feel like, oh, because I'm having sex at 14 with a grown woman, that this is something good. Like, I should be happy about this. And if they show the smidgen, the tiniest thing of discomfort, or try to discuss that, you know, I don't want this. I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's 10, 15 years older than me, a teen, and I don't think this is right. They're then called a lot of names. They're told that they don't like women and all type of things. So I hope that we could now move towards changing that culture and allowing men to be heard in that aspect, and also in the aspect of domestic violence as well. And them, these things happening to them does not make them weak. Being a victim of a horrendous crime does not make you weak, and it's okay to speak up. And I hope that in the next, I hope in my lifetime, that is something that we can move towards. But that brings us to the conclusion of our show tonight. But before we leave, I just wanted to share a few little good things. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about that I saw yesterday, or day before yesterday. So a Bahamian baseball player, his name is Jazz Chisholm, I think is how you pronounce it. He was this cover of the MLB The Show 2023. It's a baseball game that you can play on console. I think you can play on PC too, I'm not sure. And I thought that was so cool because like a Bahamian, they're doing big things like your man. Like that's amazing. I love that. Also, we were talking about the lack of healthcare earlier and how we need better infrastructure and so on and so forth. So Doctors Hospital announced that they expect to have four hospitals open by 2025, which I think is amazing. And it would help PMH a lot, although it's not public. Those that have health insurance or that can afford to pay the bill, it can be referred there. And I think it'll take a lot of the weight off of the public hospital. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was infrastructure. So the government is investing in Cat Island and plan to redo, I think, if not all, most of their roads, which the Prime Minister said is going to be grateful for an investment. And also they're going to be making renovations to the Exuma Airport. And these are things that are much needed for the residents of our country. And it's good to see that we're actually putting into islands. I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of governments are so, they're so NASA-centric and everything is for NASA. So it's good to see that we're actually trying to put into some of our other islands. I hope that the trend continues and that we can get the much needed infrastructure needed on all of these islands, whether it be road connect, just government facilities in general. I think that'll be amazing. So talking so much about things that need to change and about things that negative things have been happening. I feel like we needed to implement something that, well, a few positive things. Those are a few positive things that are happening in the good news that I think are good news. So yeah, I think we had a good conversation today. We hope you guys enjoyed the show, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242, where you can stay abreast on everything that we're doing. So yeah, keep it real, moments.